This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Hannah Whitten Show. This evening, I have Melanie Murphy in the studio with me.
How are yous all? Yous have an Irish accent today.
Oh my God, everyone's going to be splooshing all over the place listening.
Oh yeah, we got voted sexiest accent in the world.
By who? The world.
The world, literally everyone. The whole world. I feel like I sound like a granny. I have an Irish granny accent.
What would be a sexy Irish accent to you?
Oh God, I love the Northern Irish accent on a girl.
I'm bad at telling the difference. Like, I can't.
Get out, just leave.
You're on my turf now.
God damn.
Oh my God. Do you know what you're getting yourself into this evening, Mel?
Well, I have wine in front of me, Hannah Whitten.
Yeah. Every time
me and you and wine get together, things go down. I'm just going to pretend we're not on the radio right now.
Well, because we haven't seen each other since before Christmas.
Yeah, literally.
Because you've been stuck in Ireland finishing writing your book.
Mm-hmm.
And aww. I haven't seen you.
Hannah, we're going to be published authors.
I know. Me in 2 weeks, you in September.
Oh my God.
How mental is that?
Like, literally, remember, like, 2 months ago, we were wandering around a bookshop and we were just talking about possibly, we were like looking in the YouTube book section. This is mental. Like, we are going to have books on the shelf. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh. It's weird. It's not like quite sunk in for me yet, even though it's so soon.
2 weeks, man.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay. All right.
Published, yeah.
Are you going to read reviews? I don't think I'm going to read reviews.
Oh, no, I don't. Like, oh no, I'm going to want to read, obviously, comments from my viewers and stuff when I talk about it in the video, but I think, like, reviews from proper book reviewers, that's terrifying to me because, obviously, like, I've always written and stuff, but I'm not a writer and I'm not, like, a professional, prolific person who just, like, writes all the time. So it is, and you're parting, it's like parting with a child. You spend so many months.
Oh, yeah.
And then, and I think as well, we're both delving into kind of quite personal stuff. So,
absolutely.
I had the opportunity to read Hannah Whitten's book before everyone else.
Have you read it?
Yeah.
Ah!
I love it, Hannah. Ah! I'm so proud of you. Like, I was.
This is weird.
Get away. No, literally, I was like so proud of you. I was sitting there and I kept forgetting that you'd written it. Mm. You know what I mean? I was just in. Because it's a book, like it's a physical thing, and it's just, you know, I kept flicking the pages, you know.
I've been smelling my book. I've been smelling it. I'm like, oh, my book is a good smelling book. This is important to me. Yeah. Yes, this is good.
Yes. I love sniffing books, especially when they get old. I'm just going to have to stick it in a library, get it to soak up that library smell.
Oh, yeah. I'm into it. I am so into it. So guys, listeners, if you want to get in touch during the show, you can tweet at FUBAR Radio or you can email hannah@fubarradio.com. And actually, towards the end of the show, we were going to be doing Drunk Advice Live. Oh my goodness. So if you, you can tweet us and say hello, but you can also tweet us and email us if you need some advice with your questions. Because we are here. We are here for you.
Our last drunk advice.
Oh my God. Did anyone listening watch the actual drunk advice video that me and Mel did on my channel? And do you remember Melanie's voice for her clitoris? What's the time? 5 past 6. Good. It's 5 past 6 p.m. We're not even 10 minutes into the show and we're like, Mel's clit voice.
Mel's clit. Oh, I just want to come. Make me come.
I can't.
Why? I get so tipsy off one glass of wine if I drink it too fast. That's the thing. And I know by the end of this I'm going to be making a holy show, so you'd better stick around.
Great. Thank you for doing that for me. That's my job, but thank you.
Hey, I'm here now. I'm taking over this.
Yeah. If you do stick around, you can expect fun things like drunk advice, like I said, songs about sex, dirty talk, asking for a friend, and position impossible. Yeah, exactly. Another thing that we do, Mel, with new guests, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to get you on the show.
I know.
In the first place. But it's because you live in bloody Ireland. Like, you're in the middle of nowhere.
But I'm now going to be back in London lots and lots and lots.
Yeah, because you wrote your book and it's all done now. Exactly. Well, not all done, but you, like, got the manuscript in, which I can totally tell you that. Yeah, that is the hard part. It's like, whoa, so many words. So what we do for new guests is we search for their name on Urban Dictionary.
Oh my God.
And we see what it means. Have you ever searched your name on Urban Dictionary before?
Oh goodness.
Okay. Ready? Melanie.
It better be kinky as fuck.
Here we go. Melanie. Do you want to read it out?
A name for a girl, French, means dark, like dark hair, olive skin.
Nope.
I'm pale as an arse. People named Melanie are always really pretty and super nice. Mm-hmm. Just sexy.
There you go.
Oh, baby, they just know. If you will, use to say it when seeing a pretty girl, but they obviously will never match up to her standards.
And the example is, damn, that girl is definitely a Melanie.
I like Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. What is this? Oh my God, it actually means, this second one has said Melanie means dark lady in Greek. Did you know that? Does your mean actually mean like dark?
Dark. Oh my goodness.
Let's find out. Melanie.
I do Melanie always feel, I feel like in another life I could have been a goth. Like, I definitely, I have a lot of friends who are goth. And
look!
The goth culture draws me. Melanie is a feminine name given, oh no, derived from the Greek. What? Blackness? Melanie means blackness and dark.
Yeah. Oh,
but I'm so nice and light and bubbly.
Never, not in your
I'm
soul.
Not evil.
Not in your soul.
Deep down, I'm hiding it all from you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, dark. Anyway, but I just don't know what I'm trying
you
to say.
Dark, bitch.
You dirty bitch. No, you dirty bitch.
You dirty bitch.
There was, I was like, we did a FUBAR show with, I think it was Sammy, and you were listening.
Oh,
and
I
so
was.
I kept on being like, dirty bitch.
Melanie's a dirty bitch.
Dirty bitch.
Every time he sees me, he just takes the piss out of my accent so much.
Oh, this is probably a good time to mention, this is my 30th show on FUBAR Radio.
No!
3-0. Cheers.
Cheers to
Cheers
that,
Cheers to
Mrs.
that. Ding, 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 ding. With our plastic glasses. Ding, ding, ding.
But they are plastic. Hannah Witten, I was expecting now a bit more than this.
Hey, I got you chicken satay sticks. I know, I kind of feel like I need 10 of those, like 10 buckets of it.
I ate that box in about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I inhaled it.
Yeah. That's how it works when it comes to chicken satay. It's kind of, it's a bit mental.
That's the shit right there.
What's Ireland like? I was meant to come last weekend and then for St. Paddy's, and then the flights were too expensive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you did. You'd missed some shenanigans.
Oh, yeah.
I love bloody Ireland, Hannah. I just wanted to come and I want to bring you everywhere, even though I can't drive.
I can drive. I mean, like, in theory.
We can rent a car, we can go up the mountains, and we can just pretend that we're, like, living back in the day. I'll make you some bread and potatoes.
Make you some bread, Jesus. Oh, okay, sure. I know. I need to come and visit you.
You do.
You're just here. I take
just,
you for granted.
It's easy. Yeah, I'm always the one bleeding visiting yous. This has to change, Mrs.
Sorry. Sorry.
I'm really guilt tripping.
I want to meet your dad and your cats.
And my brother.
Your brother.
He fancies you, though.
You can't say that on the
air. Yeah, I can. I'm not going to tell him I did, actually, if he looked at my Twitter. Andrew, if you're listening, I'm not sorry, baby. I'm not sorry. I love embarrassing people. He fancies you and he thinks you're beautiful. And he likes your titties, probably.
Oh my God, no, you've not even had like any wine. Guys, this is what Melanie Murphy is like, unfiltered. Like, I'm not even joking. This is like
Hannah Wynn's titties. Hannah Wynn's titties. Hannah Wynn's titties.
Wow.
I said nothing.
You said a lot. I mean, Andrew, if you're listening, I'm sure you're a great guy. I'm really sorry.
He's a good one. He's a good chap.
Aww.
Solid taste.
Is he not seeing anyone?
Don't think so.
Are you seeing anyone?
If he is seeing anyone, they're going to be jealous now. I'm not really seeing anyone, no. I'm kind of like, I'm just chilling.
Just chilling.
Just friends with benefits scenarios. It's kind of perfect fits me for now, but I miss it. I do miss going out with someone. Uh-huh. I dated people long term my whole life.
You've had like huge long term relationships in the past,
And you get so used to them, and you get so comfortable to having like that pillar of support there all the time. But I do. I kind of love the fact that being single, I've become a lot more independent, and mm-hmm. I kind of know now. It's like you said in your video about being single and stuff. Like you, when you realize you can make it till the end on your own, and you're not going to like die or collapse if you don't meet the right person. Yeah. Uh-huh. It is a nice feeling. It's a bit of a sad feeling sometimes when you're in bed and you're like, I just want to snuggle. I just want to talk to someone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just like spread a lot of it out between all of my friends and my family. So it's kind of nice having a handful of close friends to fulfill the void.
The gaping void.
No, I'm joking. Being single is fine. Don't mind me crying over here in the corner.
Well, the last time I saw you, you were crying in the corner.
I was. I was on Riyadh's floor crying.
That was a mental night full of tears from a lot of people.
Yeah, we were like in a big, massive YouTuber pile in the corner of the room. Mm. And like, I was...
This is Riyadh's Christmas/housewarming party. Mm. So like in December, the last time I saw Mel.
Yeah.
And everyone was a bit drunk. And then Melanie suddenly panicked about her dad.
Yeah, I get quite bad... separation anxiety from him. I have all of my life, but it's never been as bad as it has been since he had a heart attack.
And like, well, we were in Stockholm when that happened. So
because I think because you were there with me when that happened, so I was associating.
You associate me with your dad's heart attack.
Yeah, this is why I've been avoiding you. No, it's like I associated kind of you being there as like my comfort and all this. And then at Riyadh's party, I kind of realized, oh, I'm away from home. Anything could happen. He could die. And then I saw you, and then like Riyadh was there, and I got such this wave of emotion. But like, I just love how comforting you all are, and I don't have to be embarrassed about crying. And
no, I mean, like a lot of people cried that night.
Mm.
It was a good one.
It was. I love a good cry. Though.
I love a good cry at
it's
the party.
So therapeutic to cry with people.
So this next song I picked because I was thinking, oh, Melanie's coming on the show. What songs do we have like shared memories of?
Oh my god!
And I hope this brings you back to that very interesting evening in that hotel room where we got lots of noise complaints.
Oh!
You ready?
Yeah.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Marry me, Bo. Marry me, Bo. Just marry me, Bo. If you're listening, which you're not.
I know. I listened to like a whole 3-hour podcast, the one that he did with Pete Holmes. Oh, and then like right at the end of it, he mentioned having a girlfriend. I was like, oh, dreams crushed. I listened to a whole 3 hours.
Just to find out if he was single.
No, oh my God. Did you listen to that podcast though?
I haven't.
Oh my God. Mm. It's so good. They just talk all about like creativity and social media and celebrity and it's amazing.
But even
life changing
in that happy stage show, like he gets across so much in such a short space of time. Like it's such a roller coaster of emotions, and it really did make me question a huge amount of like just the whole social media thing, like what we do and
the performance aspect of just like performing our lives constantly.
Yeah.
I love it. I love him.
So good.
I've been obsessed with him since I was like 17. I learned how to do a Rubik's Cube because of Bo Burnham.
You little nerd.
I know.
I love it.
I know. At Dean Morris 90s tweeted in saying, on my commute home from central London and my journey sucks, but being made better by Hannah Whitten on FUBAR Radio, also Irish accents.
Oh,
and then
lovely.
The emoji with the face and the love hearts for eyes.
Oh, damn. That's my baby.
It's one of my fave emojis.
Thank you, Mr. Dean Morris.
Thank you,
Dean Morris.
Mel's already like gone for a second glass of wine, by the way. I just feel like I need to
step up your game.
We only have one bottle.
I'm going to do my little sipples. Little sips.
I don't really like, I know that I have this kind of like image online that I get drunk a lot and drink a lot.
You don't.
But
I
really don't. I think I casually drink a bit. Like I'll sometimes have a beer or two, but the last week, me and Cal and Riyadh had a bit of a dinner party. Riyadh cooked me and Cal dinner.
Oh, I saw on his Instagram story.
We missed you.
Oh.
But basically, like, in that day, I filmed, like, 4 videos that day. And I actually had given myself 2 days to do all of the filming, like, just in case.
You're so much more organized than me.
I know. Oh, yeah. And so I got everything done on the first day. So I was like, oh my God, I can like reward myself with like a lie-in and kind of just chill out a bit.
Mm.
And so going to this dinner party, I was kind of like, I would like to get a little bit drunk.
Yeah.
And like, I don't normally like, I've not done that since uni where I'm just like, I want to get drunk vibes. But like that night I was just like, I can actually afford to lie in tomorrow.
Yeah, so I might as well have a look. I think the mentality around that is a bit... Because I'm the same. Like, we'll often go to parties together, not with the intention of getting smashed. Like, mm-hmm. we just... But open to having a few drinks, because my normal limit is one or two, like one glass of wine. You know how tipsy I'll be after this.
Mate, I'm like, you kept the bottle of wine on your side. Like, bring it
mine,
back over.
It's mine!
Bring it back over. I do not trust you. You are out of control.
Guys, I'm handing the bottle of wine to Hannah Whitten.
Okay, good. I'm keeping hold of this. I will monitor your behaviour.
I am a lightweight, and I'm glad I'm a lightweight, because I just think, like, I had bad experiences with alcohol as a teenager. I used to binge drink, and I don't think it's good. I don't think I'm good with too much drink on me. Mm-hmm. I get upset a lot if I have too much drink. So yeah, like the last time I probably drank,
I get horny.
Oh.
Do you get horny when you drink?
No. No. Like, I feel like it makes me very sleepy a lot of the time, especially wine.
Yeah, it depends what I'm having.
I'm just horny the rest of the time.
Fair enough. No, drinking makes me quite horny. I remember years ago with my ex, we'd be like on nights out and I'd be drinking and so I'd be horny, and then we'd get home and he'd be like, yeah, great, and I'd be like asleep.
It's like poking you away. Please.
I was like, no. And he's like, but you've been saying that you want it all night. I'm like, yeah, now I'm tired though.
And I can't feel anything either when I've had, even if I've had 3 or 4 glasses of wine.
Oh God, it's so much more messy and difficult.
It's numb as well. Like,
it's like a workout. Yeah. It's like a really... It's a really strenuous.
But do you not like find that when you do have a few drinks, you do things that you probably wouldn't do otherwise?
Yeah, like in a good way.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
But I feel like I can't take full enjoyment. So it's more kind of a case of I'll make the most of the acrobatics, and then, you know, I'll go back to enjoying the norms when I've no drinks on me. But I think two is good with me. Like, I'm very happy.
Mate, you're already on like 1.5. Like, we've got 2 hours of this show.
Hey, that glass of wine you poured, not a glass of wine, my love. That was a shitty ass, half ass glass of wine.
All right. I am being told right here, and I'm going to pour myself like a glass of wine. Okay. Tell us about your book, Mel.
My book.
Yeah, tell us about your book.
Guys, do you want to hear about my book? Yeah, you want to hear about my book, because it's going to be so good. So I basically was approached about publishing in 2015, and it took me well over a year to get this thing done. And Hannah knows like how difficult, because I just went through a few things last year that I kept pushing it back and back, and then I nearly didn't do it, and then I saw she finished hers and I was like, no, screw this, I'm gonna do it.
You got your deal before I got mine.
Yeah,
and then
I just was shit at following through. But no, it's done. 80,000 words I wrote, handed over to my editor, and it's basically a compilation of stories and experiences and thoughts that I have. I wouldn't call it a memoir, and I wouldn't call it an advice book, because
Essays?
Well, you could call it that. Like, I basically break it up into topics and subjects, and I've chosen certain memories, and I've tried to build around that and take something from that that I think might be valuable to the reader. So it is a lot of the same stuff I do on my channel, you know, a lot of body confidence, a lot of sexuality stuff, and I was happy enough with what I handed over. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there's all these people still making jokes about YouTubers not writing their own books or whatever. And it makes me sad, because I want people to know I did write this myself. Mm-hmm. You know, that's important to me, because...
Also, what people tend to forget is that, like, I know you said it's not a memoir, but like with most celebrities, they don't write their own memoirs.
Oh, yeah, they don't. Of course they don't. Like, But mine, I think the reason I wouldn't call it a memoir is because it's kind of not about my whole life. It's mm-hmm. about aspects of my life, the things I'm comfortable with.
You're getting
with
like
sharing.
Snapshots of different themes, mm. I guess.
Yeah, so that there's a still like an overriding kind of very clear message of and theme in the book. And it's called Fully Functioning Human. Almost, because I'm definitely not there yet. But I wanted
who
to...
Is? Who is? I talk to my parents. My parents are like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
still making up as I go along. My dad is like insanely successful in his career. And he's like, I still don't know what I want to be when I'm older.
Oh, my dad does that too. And I think it's the cutest. Yeah. Like, my dad like often will look at himself in the mirror and he'll be like, who the fuck is that guy? Because he yeah. just doesn't feel his age. And I love that about people.
Yeah. Also, like, I think... The average person goes, like, has about 3 careers in their lifetime. So wow. not just jobs, like, careers.
Wow.
And that's, like, on average. But that's really exciting to me.
Same here. Because, like...
Because I'm like, oh, what could I be doing in 5 years' time? Like, yeah. I don't know.
I have almost too many aspirations, I think. Like, there's so many things I want to do. And the fact that this whole YouTube thing is now a thing, like when I started... And I was really late starting. Like, I started my channel in 2013. And when I started, the biggest YouTuber in Ireland with the most subscribers, I think, had about 150,000 subscribers. Mm. And so in my head, even like 10,000 subscribers would have been a huge goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, do you also find that the more the numbers go up, you can't contemplate it? So you just stop. You can't even really think about it because you can't picture that many people.
Kind of, but what I tend to do is I picture football stadiums.
Yeah.
So, like, my videos, like, the views that they get, like, vary depending. Like, the Hormone Diaries usually get, like, over 100K, but then, like, a favourites video might get, like, 50K.
Yeah. So many people.
Well, yeah,
well.
And so I'm a Manchester City fan, and the Manchester City, like, Etihad Stadium can hold 55,000 people.
Wow.
And so whenever I'm there, I kind of, like, have this reality check of picturing...
Oh, my God, that's
I
terrifying.
Picture, like, a full stadium and then just me alone in the middle of the pitch talking about sex. And then I, like, picture that and I'm like, oh, my God.
Hannah.
Like, that's insane. Because when you just see numbers on a screen, like, that's nothing. But then, like, when I'm at a football match... And I see everyone and I'm just like, oh my God. Like the noise that a crowd that size can make. And like, it's insane.
The weight of that. Because it is, it's something that is so hard. I'd love to go somewhere like that with that could like put that many people in one little area just to see. Because I still have that.
Football stadiums.
I'm so detached from the number. Like I definitely... Kind of. I mostly go by comments and like the quality of the comments. Mm-hmm. I think that's how I measure my success. And I do get happy if a video performs really well in views. But I think I prefer when the views are coming from a loyal audience that are following me rather than random.
Sometimes when a video like explodes slightly out of your internet bubble, that's when the not so nice people come along. But talking about your book,
mm-hmm.
We've got a little segment here.
Cool. What?
Butt plug or book plug? I think this Mel would like this.
Oh God,
this is a segment for Mel. So every week, what I do is that I've come up with a little thing that's like a clue,
okay,
and it's either a book plug or a butt plug.
Okay,
and this one is audible, so we're all going to listen to it. And then after the next song,
I'm excited.
We're going to reveal what it is. So during the next song, please tweet in at FUBAR Radio whether you think this is a butt plug or a book plug. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm okay. Fucking ready.
This is it.
Microwave.
All right. How was that?
Okay, sounded like a mass murderer down in his basement, just
sure.
Kind of cannibal, you know, all full out. What was that?
Well, I will tell you right after this song, but make sure you tweet in at FUBAR Radio, make your guesses. Is that a butt plug,
a
book plug or a butt plug? And we will reveal right after this.
Yeah, we will.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
All right. What did you think that was then? butt plug or butt plug? Which one did I say? Book plug? I just get confused myself sometimes. Like which
butt or a book?
Book. I say book.
Book.
Butt.
Book.
It's like just the
I
same.
I just say arse and book.
An arse plug.
An arse plug.
That's an arse plug.
Shove it up my arse there.
Should we listen to it again one last time? You ready?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So creepy.
See, it could be a guy, you know, promoting his cookbook.
What is he cooking?
Okay. Microwave noodles.
So some of you guys have tweeted in. Marta says that they think it's a book plug. Katie says book plug. Dan and Phil's. Apparently that sounds like Dan and Phil's book. I don't know. Have you read it? I don't know.
See, their book is not on fire, so I don't think.
Maybe. That's them putting out the fire. It's like, ah! Sophie says butt plug. Eleanor says, I hope that was a book plug. If not, then I'm worried. Jake Westmore has said, I say book plug, but double T, I could be wrong.
No.
I wonder if that was on purpose. I hope it was. Well, I can now reveal that it is a butt plug.
What?
So that sound that we heard was from a YouTube video of a man. Was it a man? A man making a butt plug.
What?
So
a microwave.
Not in a microwave. I don't know what the hell is going on. But so the YouTube channel is called Unconventional DIY, and the name of the video is DIY Cast Aluminium Butt Plug. And the sounds that we heard were the melting plastic in a microphone to create the mold, and carving the shape using a shaving, some kind of shaving machine, a file. I don't even know. But yeah. That's what we were listening to. Homemade metal butt plug being made. But for good measure, my book Doing It is out on the 6th of April and you can pre-order it now.
Yeah.
Can people pre-order your book, Mel?
They can, but I haven't shared the link yet until we've the cover. I'm so anal about it. I want the cover to be there before I share the link. I'm ridiculous.
Fair. Yeah, I had like my cover yet to be revealed thing up for ages before though, but it's fine. Oh well, you can pre-order Mel's book soon. At some point, and pre-order mine. It's out on the 6th of April. Okay. It's time to play a game. We've got Abby here with us.
Hello.
Please no butt plugs. I don't want any.
Don't. Well,
any of this shit.
Maybe.
I don't know. We're about to play Position Impossible.
Position Impossible.
Yeah. Okay, so in this game, Abby has got a list of sex positions. Mm. Some of them are real, some of them are fake.
Oh, God.
And we have to guess if it is real or fake.
Okay, based on experience.
Could be based on experience. And then we have to also, guess and describe what we think that position is.
Okay. Okay. Ooh, okay. This Ready. Is my kind of game. Go
yeah,
on.
I was going to say, I think you'll be good at this one.
Mel's just like, yeah, done it.
Shush you, woman.
Abby's always reading it going, I personally wouldn't like this. And I was like, I would.
Okay, so spork. Is spork real?
S-P-O-R-K.
Yes.
Spork. That sounds like some kind
sounds
of...
sounds like a made-up word entirely.
A weird fork... object.
You've never heard
utensil.
Of a spork? What the hell is a spork?
A spork is a spoon. A fork.
Yeah.
It's like a spoon that's a
got
fork.
Got it. Yeah. Oh, that's a sex position because spooning, forking.
Forking.
Melanie, is it real?
You just don't.
I reckon it is. I don't. I would say no one is like, hey, baby, do you want to do the spork? But I think it probably describes a real position. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're both right. It is.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
What do you think it is?
Okay, well, it's got to have something to do with, is it just fucking from whilst you're spooning?
No.
What? No, surely that's what it is, sporking.
It's a spork. Right, so a spork is basically, is it a fork that has two little sticky out bits?
So are there two dicks
involved? They could be legs. Two dicks.
There are two legs sticking out, yeah.
Two legs sticking out. Okay. Is it a penetrative
yes.
position? Okay.
So maybe the woman on the top facing away from the man... and riding him.
Babe, you're bisexual. Why are you making this so heteronormative?
I like heterosexual sex quite a lot.
It's lovely.
No, it's not that.
Legs sticking out. Are they in the air?
No.
I always go for the acrobatic. Okay.
Lady on her back or female or person with
person
vagina.
Person receiving.
Yeah, on their back.
So it's the girl on her back.
Yeah.
Did you just give a hint?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, girl on her back.
And legs. Her legs aren't in the air.
They're quite in the air, yes.
Is he underneath? No, okay. That's the same position.
The person with the penis.
I like that one.
Is on top, in between the legs, and the legs are just like up like a massive V.
No.
No.
The person with the penis is on their side.
Wait, what? And they're on their back?
She's on her back.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Is it going in the ass?
No.
So you could
possible.
Are you sure this is penetrative?
She'd have to have one leg up. She'd have to have one leg up to let his.
Yes. Underneath. Yes. Yeah. Okay. One leg. Got it. Nailed it. There. Like this.
Oh yeah. There you go, Whitten. There you go.
I'm doing it.
You're pretty much there.
Doing it. Oh.
6th of April. 6th of April. You're basically there. I'm going to show you the photo while I read it out. So, okay. Penis person lies on this side.
Yes, I like this one.
Yeah,
show me.
It's a good one, this
Wait,
one.
Hold, there it is, Mel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's so good. It doesn't have a name.
For any new listeners, I always put these pictures on my Snapchat. So, it's Hannah Whitten on Snapchat, and you can go see
Give me that shit. I want a Snapchat.
There you go.
Too.
I swear we had one, like, the first week we did this that was very similar to this. The only difference is I think that the man's legs are a bit further apart. But
it's very easy to use a vibrator in this position. Just so you know.
Ooh!
So his legs are slightly driven apart with bent knee. The woman or the person receiving lies on her back, buttocks to the partner's penis, which is vital. And then the legs flop over.
Flop. Yeah. We love a good flopping. I still don't understand why that is a spork and why not just like sex while spooning is a spork.
There seems to be like no connection between the name.
Yeah, it doesn't
and the...
look like a spork. It's very strange. Yeah. Anyway, next one.
Okay. Shell.
A shell?
Shell.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like sex whilst like in a fetal position? Because that like looks like a shell to me.
No.
A shell is like...
I think it's real.
Oh, I can't. It just seems so bland. It's just like two big lumps on top of each other.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
So you're saying no,
Fuck
Melanie.
Fuck the shell.
So you're saying no, Melanie.
I'm saying no.
Okay, and Hannah, you're saying yes?
Yeah.
Hannah, you're right.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's for me. That's for you. I need to see this shit.
Okay, so I think that the shell is a person receiving on their back, person giving on top, and they've got like their legs like fully wrapped around them, so they're like in a ball.
No.
In a ball.
No.
No. Is it penetrative? Or?
No.
It's oral.
Yes.
Oh. Well, it's oral and it's not a 69. And what if it's like the spork where they're kind of on their sides, but they're doing a 69 on their sides?
Good, because they're both on their sides.
They're both
on their sides, yes.
Are both people doing oral or is one person receiving the
Only
oral?
One person.
Only one person is receiving the oral.
The girl?
Yes.
Yes. It's the girl.
Okay. So, one person is getting oral. They're both on their sides. Her legs like just wrapped around his head?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like,
so,
fully wrapped around. Where's her head?
Yeah, it's just like the other end.
Oh.
Is that what you're imagining?
Yeah, I've totally done this.
Yeah.
Oh my God. These are beautifully graphic pictures. I love them.
Yeah, they're great. So gorgeous. The woman lies on her side on the elbow. She lifts up her upper part of her body,
there
legs
go,
bent and driven apart. But the feet are together.
Oh, nice.
She's like holding herself up on her side. Yeah. I'm into it.
That's a really...
That's on my Snapchat as well, guys. Tune in, Hannah Whitten. It's literally, like, I don't use Snapchat anymore except for these pictures. So I don't know, like, maybe there's, like, some weird people following me. Like, every Wednesday we get new sex
positions.
They're
like, they don't even know who you are. They're just, like, following you for the weird cartoon porn.
Yeah.
Like,
why does it only happen once a week?
Yeah.
Okay, what about spitball? Is spitball.
I hope that's not real. Like, I really hope that's a made up.
That's an awful name if that's no. That can't
Because you're
be
like,
real.
We're just spitballing, and that's just like coming up with ideas.
Just spit on my balls.
No, yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, thank you.
No.
No?
I wouldn't say so.
Hannah?
No, not fake. Fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Sad.
It's huge fake news.
Massive.
So both get a point there.
Ding, 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 ding.
If it was a position, what position do you think it would be?
I think it would be like balls in the mouth.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Straight up.
Balls in the mouth.
Both at the same time.
Just like, there you go.
It's another one of those noises again, Melanie.
One of those gorgeously sexy noises. Imagine it actually sounded like that.
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. T-square.
Wait, what?
Yeah. T-square, as in like just normal T.
Like the
a T-square is like this.
A letter T.
Yes.
T-square, that would make sense. That would maybe... No, that would be like the spark, because that's the same. That's the man line this way and the woman line this way, and then he's going...
Yeah, but T-square, like as in squared, like squared means like two of them. Like times by each other. Oh. T times T. Oh. Is this are we getting mathematical here?
Well, what are we getting into? What are you insinuating, Hannah Whitten?
I'm insinuating that I like doing maths whilst I'm having sex now. T square.
Mm-hmm.
Are they like giving oral to each other in a 69, but they're in a square? So like they're like both bent at the hips in a certain way, so it's like they're in a square.
No, nice, but it's not oral.
It's penetrative. Mm-hmm. Is it in the shape of a T or is it in the shape of a square?
It's in the shape of a T.
In a T.
Okay. What's the square? Mm. Wait. So it's real.
Ding ding ding. Yes. Okay. Caught me off guard. Yes.
Ding 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 ding. I didn't even do that on purpose. You're like, haha, sure.
Yeah, but I'm in charge of the points. So.
Oh no.
Taking so many off right now.
I want to win.
I want to win.
Okay. T, so it's in the shape of a T and it's penetrative.
Mm-hmm. That sounds just like basic girl on top where he's lying down. And
yeah, are they both lying down or is one person?
Both lying down, one is on the back again and one's on the side again.
Just not like the last one?
No.
Is it the same as the last one except opposite some way? Like where...
the person penetrating is just like going in from the side.
This is so confusing.
I don't really know what's going on here. I can't picture this. Like, and I'm picturing something, but I'm like, that still doesn't work.
No, I'm just picturing the original, the first one.
No.
I have no idea. Clue.
Okay, clue. So, person receiving has the option to play with themselves as well.
Okay.
And the legs are spread, holding one leg. Well, in this photo, she is.
Spread.
Yeah.
She's holding a leg or he is?
One each.
Jesus Christ. Are their legs like crisscrossing? Wide open?
Wide.
So they're like lying like that.
Kind of scissoring.
Scissoring, except.
Well, okay, so person lying on their back. I'm like trying to do this.
Hannah's opened up her legs.
Yeah. Person lying on their back, legs wide open. They've got one leg in one hand, the other leg is in the other person's hand. Mm-hmm. The other person is lying sideways.
I don't want this one, thank you very much.
Are they... yeah, no, I need a picture. I can't. Okay. I'm like lost at this point.
Have a look, see what you think.
Tell me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would get really deep.
Oh, yeah, no.
It would.
Oh my God.
That would get deep.
I want to do that.
Melanie.
Wow. I never thought to do that. That would give you some good leverage as well.
Definitely. So person one lies on their back, bending their knees. They hold their ankle with the one hand. The other hand is free to do whatever. Person number two lies on their side and penetrates the person's vagina just from... It's not really at an angle, is it? It's just like straight on.
My favourite thing about posting these on Snapchat is I get to see how many people screenshot them.
Oh, yeah!
And I'm like, oh, that one was popular.
Do they actually do that?
Yeah.
Amazing.
No way.
Yeah.
I've never
thought
about that.
But it is like, the thing is with positions, a lot of people just don't know what ones to try. And it's something that I would say a lot of people don't look them up. Like, a lot of the positions that I like, I just stumbled into them, just figured them out randomly.
Like,
I was so lucky. My first long-term boyfriend was very, very experimental with positions.
Oh,
so
sure.
I felt like I did experience a lot of them as a teen.
Mm-hmm.
Fun times.
Where are we at? Are we drawing? Are we?
So Hannah is in the lead, and I have one more.
Gosh damn! Ready to redeem myself.
Ready.
The picnic.
I think that sounds like a nice name. I'm going to say, what if it's mutual people?
What if it's lots of people?
I think all of the examples that we have are just two people. Sorry to bust your bubble, Mel.
I mean, you could have led her astray. You could have won.
I know. Yeah. Well, what do you think?
I think it is.
Okay, I'm going to go no then to kind of balance things out to make things exciting.
Okay. Well, Hannah, you've now won because that was fake.
But a fake picnic news. At a picnic, people eat nice things.
What would it be then if you were going to do a sex session called The Picnic? What would you do?
The Picnic. Mm-hmm. I'd be just lying down and just have genitalia in the face.
Sounds great. On that note, we're going to be doing Asking for a Friend in a bit and talking all about some deep topics. But in the meantime, if you want to tweet in your questions for drunk advice later, you can tweet at FUBAR Radio or you can email Hannah at FUBARradio.com. And we'll be chatting again right after this.
FUBAR Radio presents
Subculture Club with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
Sam forgets you're pregnant.
We're all pregnant now.
You know they say like baby making music?
That is like
that will get you pregnant.
Exactly.
It doesn't make you want to have sex with someone.
It just makes you pregnant.
Oh God.
Yeah. Samfer is the reason for overpopulation. You know, they kind of put forward all these conspiracy theories for population control. You know, AIDS, cancer, you know, they're all engineered by the government to quell the growing rise in humans being born on this earth or living on this earth. Mm. Samfer was made purely to just make other humans.
Every Friday.
Subculture Club with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
From 2 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to The Hannah Whitten Show with me, Hannah Whitten, and Melanie Murphy. If you want to get in touch during the show, you can tweet at FUBAR Radio or email Hannah at FUBARradio.com. And we're going to be answering your advice questions later.
Yes.
So you should definitely get in touch with those. For now, I wanted to talk to Mel in our little segment called Asking for a Friend, where we kind of like dive a little deeper into some topics about a video that she made recently. You made recently about like online friendships and all of that stuff. Because I thought that was a really great video. And it's interesting because just in terms of talking about how people perceive your relationships with other people, whether it's like a romantic relationship or friendships, and especially when it comes to if the people involved each have their own online following kind of thing. And it's a weird one because on one hand, I think that we're complaining and like, oh, what do they have to complain about? They've got like thousands of followers on the internet and they're like, it's so hard. but it's also just like really, I find really interesting because I find people really interesting and like society and culture. And I think I love analysing shit like this.
Same. I love psychology. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even talking about it, taking away any sort of, it's so difficult and it's a struggle. To take away all that, it's just the whole topic in general is fascinating because this is a new thing. Yeah.
And so many people have a social media presence.
Yeah.
Even if that's just within your group of friends of people that you know in real life.
Yeah.
Like you still...
Oh yeah, like so many of my subscribers related to so many things I talked about in that video and they're not, you know, public figures in any way. Mm. And they were even saying themselves that like this, like these things apply to them quite a lot. So, I think it's a interesting topic. And I don't think enough online people really talk about it either. You'll see a lot of even huge celebrities and they'll have friendships or people think like, oh, couples will go out, like singers or actresses or actors, whatever. And they'll have friendships. And then if they don't like, have a public appearance together in a long time, there's all the gossip magazines talking about it and stuff. With YouTube, it's like a smaller version of that. It's like a more it's a lot more intimate as well, because with YouTube a lot of people do share quite a lot of their relationships and friendships. And I prefaced my video saying that that's one of my favorite things to watch, so that's why it was a funny thing for me to talk about, because on the one hand I will happily sit there and I'll enjoy the crap out of a video of two friends like sharing loads about their friendship or like a couple.
Yeah, but then vlogs. But then do you care, like how much do you actually care whether or not like in a year's time they're still friends?
No, I don't. That's the thing. I think there's a big gap. Maybe it's an age gap, or maybe it's, I don't know if it's generational. I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if it's because I'm out in Ireland and whatnot. But I do note when people break up, or if people fall out. But I'm not one of those kind of people who stalks people's social media and stuff, you know. But viewers do, and they speculate. And
One of the weirdest things that I find in terms of like YouTube phenomenon is the breakup video.
Oh my god, I know.
Because one, I genuinely will stand by the fact that no one has to make a breakup video.
Mm-hmm.
No one is obliged to tell their audience anything about their personal life. That's not like, the audience isn't entitled to that information.
But when you don't do it,
that's the thing. Like, because what happens is if you have had a public relationship, and if you, like, if that ends and you just don't mention it,
people are
like
invested.
You said, the speculation, and like, you will be bombarded with messages and tweets from people being like, "Have you broken up? Have you broken up? What's going on? Why haven't you tweeted pictures together? Da da da." Like, mm-hmm. I've seen this happening to my friends, and often the reason why they have to like make a breakup video or like make a statement online,
"I'm now single" or whatever
it's because it, like, to stop those messages.
Yeah, that's what happened with me. Like, I never made a breakup video. I was with someone for a long, long time, and
but you were with that person when you started making videos.
Yeah, so it was so natural for him to be in my videos. Like, no way would I have ever thought, "I'm going to vlog today," but you just don't show your face in it. I never.
Yeah,
it wasn't even.
Whereas,
an issue.
Like, for me now, that's like conscious. I make those conscious decisions. Like, everything that I share, it isn't an accident. It isn't me like, "Oh, whoops, I pressed the send button." It's like, no, I've like really thought about this.
Exactly. And that's where I'm at now as well. So like, since me and that person broke up and I didn't fully address why, and oh my God, the way I did it, I do regret though. I was doing a favorites video and I just kind of said about how we'd broken up. I can't remember. I was talking about how some new perfume I had was like, you know, taking me out, because my old perfume I did associate with him and different times, so I was changing it up, and I just chose that to randomly throw it in. And in the edit, I was like, "Will I edit that out and just say it another time, or just never say it?" I left it in, and then the amount of shit that I got for that.
Really?
People were like, you know, saying, "Oh, he was so amazing and you treated him like shit." People were saying that I cheated on him. People were saying all sorts of stuff, and they had no idea what happened at all.
Yeah.
And that was the problem. Like, I do wish I had addressed it, but at the same time, it was not my place to share his dirty line. You know what I mean? It's not my place.
Like, you don't have to give them the answers, and that's just really shitty that people do that, I think. But also, I really like the way that you did that.
Do you think?
Yeah. Like, just the way that, like, because I'm in a relationship now, and the way that I announced it, not that I announced it at all, was kind of almost completely by accident. Like, in the same thing, it was contextualized. You were like, "This is my favorite perfume now," because it, like, you know, and you contextualize it in the sense that it means that you kind of like feel like a new person outside of your past relationship.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was in a video where I was opening a letter from my 9-year-old self, and 9-year-old Hannah was just like predicting what 25-year-old Hannah would be like, and it was like, "Will I have a boyfriend / husband?" And like, 9-year-old Hannah in, yes. And so like, in the context of that video, I kind of was just like, "Well, yeah,
it
I
feels
do
right."
Yeah, and that was all I said. But actually, I'm really lucky. Like, my audience have just been like, not nosy at all, and just kind
can
of like,
imagine if that was another YouTuber though.
My audience have just been like, "Oh, we're happy for you," and I'm just like, sweet,
I'm so glad,
like, that's it. And then it's not like mentioned, and it like, I guess it helps kind of contextualize a lot of like where I'm coming from, because I don't really talk about my personal relationships online at all, but I often use them to kind of
contextualize
where I'm coming from when I'm talking about certain topics. But I never talk like explicitly about what's going on in my life in that moment. But that just sucks.
Yeah, it's difficult. And then when it comes to going forward, I'm kind of in a weird position because I don't meet anyone outside of YouTube really, because you know how busy like you get and you go to all these events.
And we've both like dated YouTubers in the past as well.
Yeah, and it's difficult. You get this kind of, you get to this point where it's starting to get a little bit serious and you're like, "I don't think I want people to know about this, or I don't want to be an online public. I think if I met someone and I was like, yeah, we're getting married, definitely, like, I would be all out there. Like, you know, Rose and Rosie, you see all these couples sharing a lot of their. And I love it. I do love it. But I don't think. It's difficult when you're not sure about someone, and that makes them self-conscious then, because if you're not sure about them, I think they become very aware of that early on as well. So yeah, it's a bit of a pickle. And then with friendships as well, it's the kind of thing where people kind of will see certain people taking photos together the odd time and assume they're like best friends, even if they've only seen each other a few times. Or it can be at the other end of it where people can be like best friends, but because they're not posting pictures, viewers are thinking they fell out or they fought over this thing. And it turns you are like a character. They turn a lot of us into these kind of characters in their heads.
You don't see how often those people are Skyping or messaging privately. Like, you don't see that. Or hanging out. Like, I hang out a lot with a lot of my friends, even like my friends who are YouTubers who have an online presence, and we'll hang out and not post anything.
Mm-hmm.
And no one will ever know that we hung out.
Yeah, same.
And I love it.
I know. Some of my best, most fun nights with YouTubers have been those days where we're all off work. We're just turned off the internet. And, you know, I feel like some people have this expectancy that, like, they think what they see is everything that's happening, you know? Whereas we definitely choose what to share and what not to share, and I think that's okay. And I don't think people should feel that pressure that they have to share everything. And I do also, I really respect viewers that respect creators in that they don't try and kind of fill in gaps in their private life, you know?
Yeah, no, it's good. I think my audience are generally a bit older as well, so I think they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of them are just like, they just don't give a fuck, which I really like. But yeah, it's an interesting one, and I don't want to be the, you know, do the whole like, it's so hard.
Yeah.
But I do think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because we do make a lot of assumptions, and I do the same. Like, I catch myself doing it, being like, are they still together?
Yeah.
You know, I catch myself doing that, and I'm just like, no, stop.
I know.
Stop.
I know. It's like, why do I care? It's nothing to do with me. I just feel like it's people putting their energy and attention onto things that don't matter, and it's taking away from their own lives and where they could be putting that attention and stuff into making their own memories and their own experiences with people. It's very easy to hone. Like, enjoy videos for what they are was basically my message of that video.
Yeah.
It was like, if me and you made a video together and we're sharing whatever, and the videos we've made, the vlogs we've made, same with me and any of my friends, enjoy that video for what it is and try and not kind of guess too much more into it. The same way, same with couples as well.
Yeah, because what you have to remember is that no matter how unfiltered things seem, is they've been filmed, they've been edited, and they've been uploaded. Like, there's like this whole process before, like, the viewers and the followers, like, see it.
Sure, our drunk advice. Remember that whole 2-day period? Like, when I watch that drunk advice, it sparks off a load of stuff in my mind of the night and the day after and stuff like that. And but people will click on that video, watch the drunk advice that we filmed, and then the video's ended. And we don't have to share all of that.
Wait, the day that we filmed that drunk advice, was that when there was that night?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Mel, you picked a song about sex for us.
I did.
Would you like to introduce it?
I would very much like to introduce it.
Okay.
So this is a song that me and my sister sometimes listen to.
Don't contextualize it just yet. I'm going to tell you, but just introduce it, babe.
It is Drake, and it is called Practice.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, my. What a sexy song.
It's so hot, isn't it?
So, Mel, please tell everyone why you picked this song as your song about sex.
I just feel like that idea is so hot that when you meet someone that you're really, really, really into, like, you're mad into them, that they don't give a shit that you've been with other people before them, and that they view it as like, yeah, but sure, like, that's why you're so good now, and now all the things that they've taught you, I'm getting the benefits of that. You know what I mean? It's like, something about that idea is so hot to me.
That is really hot, because I've like been in the opposite situation where I've dated someone who's been like, no, I feel uncomfortable about your like sexual history. And yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Fine then. Oh, this is going to be a problem. Because I can't change that.
Exactly. Like, what do you expect me to do? I know. Like, I know what can change here, which is your attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're dumb shit.
Like, no, seriously, it's like, if you meet someone and they're going to put you on the spot about the fact that you're not a bloody virgin or whatever, you know, that you've had past experiences, yeah, and stuff like that, and make you feel jealous or make you feel bad about that, and that they're going to be jealous about that, that's such a turn off to me. Whereas I just love when someone is so comfortable and confident in themselves that they do view that as like your learning process, and like that's what made you into the person that you are now in yeah, the bedroom. You know what I mean? That's what's taught you what
yeah,
you
like. Yeah, I love that. Because, like, this is my first time listening to this song. And mm-hmm, I've got the lyrics in front of me. And as we were listening to it and going through it, I was like, where's the shit about practice? I don't understand. And then it's in that last bit where it's just like, I can tell you've been practicing. All those other men were practice. They were practice for me. And I also love that confidence, mm-hmm, of like, oh, yeah, like,
I am what you've been waiting for.
I am the event.
I am the shit.
I'm the thing you've been revising for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am the exam. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love that kind of confidence of just like, yeah, come on, impress me. Like, yeah, almost, like, it's exciting to, like, hear something. Like, we're both people that have, like, you know,
We've had our times.
We've had, still having.
having our times.
Having our times. And, like, it's just exciting for me, I think, to like hear a song like this where mm-hmm, it's celebrating that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think, what drew me so much to this when I heard it. I think it was like my sister's, I can't remember. And now every time, like, well, mainly like her, like she, I've been quite keeping to myself recently, but she, if she meets someone or whatever, will kind of sing this because it's like, this person is the shit. Like, because in the moment, like, obviously when you meet someone new and stuff, especially if they're confident, like, it's just all about that kind, yeah, of self-assured. I just can't stand jealousy and people belittling people for their sexual, yeah, history. I feel
like when you're with someone, mm, like, yes, you've got history, yes, you've got whatever baggage, you've got past experiences,
but it's a totally new thing.
Exactly. And like, what you have with that person is only that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're letting anything outside of that affect it and impact on that,
yeah,
then you're going to be thinking, you've got to ask yourself, like, why?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? Like, why can't this just be, like,
us two?
Yeah. Like, what it is,
yeah,
which is just two people.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it doesn't matter, like, what's come before.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is what's important now. This is what I've chosen for now.
Yeah.
And this is what is giving me pleasure now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that now is all that exists. Like, the past is gone. And if you're going to have, it's like you're sleeping with someone and there's all these ghosts in the room staring at you if you're constantly thinking about past people.
Yeah.
So I do, and I know, like, it is, there's a lot of deep messages in this song, even though it's just really hot to listen to. It's just,
what are some of your favorite lyrics in it? Let's pick it apart.
Oh,
what's
God,
going on? I mean, I've got to say, like, you know, the chorusy bit, girl, you look good, won't you back that ass up?
You a fine motherfucker, won't you back that ass up? Call me big daddy, won't you back?
I have to say, like, you guys didn't hear this, but witnessing Melanie singing along to this song was something that I will never forget.
I hope that's in a good way.
Yeah.
Or a slightly terrifying way. But yeah, I quite love, because as you know, I'm very fond of big bums. I love big bums. Even like boys and girls. Like, I think I just love a big juicy arse. And I just think that
juicy arse.
That juicy arse. That imagery is gorgeous. And then
your accent's gorgeous.
God, arse. Oh, Jesus. Oh my God. But yeah, the whole big daddy thing. Where do you stand on saying daddy in bed?
No.
Because I was worried about that line. I was like, what's Hannah going to do?
Well, no, I'm not like against it, yeah, like, I don't find it revolting.
Do you think
anything.
It's weird?
I just associate it with Callum.
Oh yeah,
Callum, like Callum to me, daddy, is like daddy, and he calls every man that he is into daddy. Like, oh my God, he's such a dad. Oh, daddy, give it to me. Like, that's, I just associate it with Callum. And then also, like, I just hate that sometimes Freud is right. Like, he's so wrong, but also he's so right, and I hate it. Because I remember, like, ages ago, like a year and a half ago or whatever, I wrote this blog post about something about, like, why I'm still single. And there was, like, one bit in it which is saying that I'm really fussy. And I kind of, like, tried to describe what my perfect, I'm using inverted, like, air quotes here, guys. You can't hear them. But perfect man would be. And I wrote this thing, and then I just got a message from my mum, like, after I'd posted, being like, you realise you just described your dad. I was like, no! So that's, and I think it's also, like, this internalised thing where, like, my whole life, I notice it. Like, the men that I've gone for and I've fancied are so similar to my dad. Because I can't use the word daddy sexually just because of how, like, revoltingly accurate it is.
I definitely agree. I think that people, when you're growing up, the things that you come to associate, especially if you have a positive relationship with a parent,
yeah,
if you take those traits and they're the things that you do look for in other people. So I don't think it's
my dad is an amazing man, and so when I think about, like, what a good man is,
yeah,
it's like that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I definitely don't think it's weird. I remember in psychology classes we talked about Freud and I was just like, Jesus. But then with the whole daddy thing sexually, I think it's a completely different word.
Call me, like, big daddy.
I call my dad da. In Ireland we say, da, will you make some tea? Da, where's the coffee? Like, the word daddy to me is what, you know, you go on Instagram, you scroll on Instagram and there'll be a really hot guy with his bloody swishy hair and it's looking all hot. All the comments are like, oh, daddy, daddy. The way they call us mom sometimes, yeah. I feel like it's that. I separate the word, I think.
Well, I don't know, because I feel like online the word daddy is very sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas mum, the way that, like, we would get called mum online, mm-hmm, is literally, like, meant to be, like, used for the phrase, like, oh my God, you give me life. Because mums, like, give life because they birth
kids. That makes
kids.
So much sense.
So that's what I remember, like, probably searching on Urban Dictionary, because I am such a grandma when it comes to, like, online stuff. I didn't know what TLDR was for ages.
What the fuck is that?
Too long, didn't read. So when you've got like a massive paragraph or something and no one's going to read the whole thing, you'd be like, TLDR, and then just do, like, oh, a one line summary.
I write long shit all the time.
You need to do TLDRs then, mate.
No.
There you go. You're even more of a granny than me when it comes to it. But, like, so yeah, so daddy to me is, like, way more sexual than when people use mum.
How do you
online.
Feel about people calling you mum?
Like, mom. Fine. Because to me, that's not sexual.
Do you not think?
No. Because it's like, oh my God, mum. It's like, oh, you give me life.
Maybe,
like,
it's different.
It's not, oh, I want to fuck you. That's not what it is.
I have a lot of lesbians and bisexual girls following me. Mm. So maybe that's why I was thinking it was the same thing. But I think that's nicer.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
No,
maybe it is really,
guys,
sexual.
Guys, tweet us. Let us know. But, like, I
have
do,
no idea.
I think it's probably better if it's not sexual, to be honest. Because, like, I get a bit uncomfortable with the whole thing of, like, people... Do you get viewers asking you on dates and stuff?
Yeah. I get, like, very sincere emails.
Oh,
being like, I would love to take you out and, like, all of this. And then, like, you'd be the perfect wife. And I'm like, oh.
Were you there when I got that weird marriage proposal and he was, like, writing out and listing off all of his qualities and all of his, like, things he'd done in school and college?
Oh,
and
wow.
It was horrible. Like, I was like, are you serious right now? You're emailing this proposal to some stranger on the internet.
Yeah.
Man, don't
awkward.
Do that. Don't do
on that, that note, that was a great song. Thank you for introducing me to that. And now, Ed Sheeran.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Are you ready for a new game?
Yes.
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 I love it. Okay, so this game is called Dirty Talk.
Oh.
Oh. So during that little song break, thank you, Ed Sheeran.
Thanks, love.
Abby came in and she gave us three pieces of paper each.
She did.
And they are turned upside down, so we don't know what is on the pieces of paper. And what's going to happen is me and Mel are going to simulate phone sex.
Oh, my God, yes.
So we're going to pretend to, like, dirty talk to each other. And what we have to do is, whilst we're doing that, we have to turn over the piece of paper, like, one at a time. and we have to incorporate that word into whatever we're saying.
Oh God. Okay, so we're not allowed to look at it until during.
Yeah, you just turn it over and then you have to like say it in whatever sentence. Oh, you're
how far are we going to go with this?
Cause mate, we can go as graphic as possible. This is FUBAR. We can do whatever we want. Okay, it's great. Are you ready, babe?
I'm ready.
Okay. Who wants to call who?
I think. Oh yeah, the 70s porn music, baby.
Yeah.
Who would realistically be calling who right now? So, you're in a relationship. I am not. I am more horny than you. So I would probably be calling you.
You think you're more? Okay, sure. Let's pretend that we're Melanie and Hannah, two people who just want to have phone sex with each other. Yeah. Or whoever. We can be whoever we want. Ready? Go. Okay. Scene. Hello?
Hey, it's Mel. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Mel. I've not seen you in ages. How's Ireland?
Oh, it's grand. I really miss, like, hanging out with you in London.
Oh, I miss you too, Mel.
Oh, do you? I just miss the coziness of your bed and, like, I know we're friends, but you know when we're snuggling at night, I quite like spooning. Yeah, oh, and I should call you and tell you that.
Oh, I love spooning too, and I also love it when you like lay your egg in my bed.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I'm really into that. I'm just like, oh yeah, Mel, she's so fertile.
Because yeah, I always ovulate when I'm in your bed. I think because like I'm just so drawn to you. I'm so attracted to you.
And we're so in sync as well.
We're so sexually in tune. It's just when you're all in your, you know, no makeup and you're in bed and like, you know, my face is all kind of close to your breasts. I think it makes me lay my egg. So that's
lay your egg on me, baby.
Oh God, yeah. Mm-hmm. You like it, don't you?
Yeah, I love it.
So it's quite a frosty evening tonight.
Oh yeah, March, classic March.
Classic March, so frosty, and that frostiness just makes me want to get closer to you.
Oh yeah, I need your body heat because I get really cold and I just want to be like rubbed up against your skin.
Yeah, my frosty skin.
Maybe we need to escape all of this frostiness and go to the jungle together.
The jungle? Oh my
god. It's proper warm in the jungle. Oh, then we can like take all of our clothes off and be like fully nude and sweaty.
Let it just hang.
Let it all hang out. Loosey
goosey. We can just lie on the branches and just like let the
Let the
licking and touching commence on the branches with
I want to taste your sweat.
Oh yeah, you do. It's so good. It's so Irish. It's just so juicy and salty and Irish. And like while I'm lying there, I'll still have my hat on. I'll be naked except I'll have a hat on.
Yeah, because you need to protect your face from the sun because of your Irish skin.
Yeah, I don't want to age, you know. I'm not going to be sexy for you anymore if I'm super saggy and
one wants that.
No, you want me nice and firm and protected.
I want you firm and protected from the sun flares.
The sun flares.
Because those flares, you know, it's not great. Oh, wait, hold on. That bed needs to repeat. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
There we go.
I can't do it without this music, Anna.
No.
Can't find the spot without it.
This is the only way I can do phone sex with anyone.
So, you know that time when I was, you know, trying to make you come and I stuck a lemon in your vagina?
Oh, I loved that.
I love the lemon, like, because it's the perfect width and it's just a bit too wide.
I also loved it because you shoved the lemon up whole and then when I let it go out, it was cut up into slices.
It was. It was all like... It was warm and it was slushy coming out. And
it was just a lemon smoothie coming out.
It was. I drank it all up.
I can't. Okay. We've like the bed's halfway through the second time, but like we've done all of the words. Jesus. What were your words then? Mine were egg, jungle and flare.
Mine were frosty, hat and lemon.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That was great. I think we got way too into that. I'm just like, okay. Need a moment.
Need a moment with my lemon.
My lemon. I'm now if like lemons ever become a thing in the bedroom for me, I'm just gonna think of you.
Guys, tweet us some pictures of lemons.
I've got, oh no, I can't say that on air.
You've got a lemon favourite.
No.
Lemon flavoured lube. Lemon shaped vibrator.
No, I've got some chocolate flavoured lube though.
Oh my god. Give me, please.
Yeah.
I've only got strawberry and raspberry.
Very cherry boring. Is really good. I really like love cherry flavoured lube as well.
I like cherry.
Yeah. Guys, obviously you can see here that me and Melanie are like super good at this.
Oh yeah, we're so good at dirty
we're
chocolate.
We're so good at it.
We're so hard.
And maybe you need some help with that as well. And we're going to be playing Drunk Advice in a bit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. After this next song, we're going to be playing Drunk Advice. And we need your questions.
Yes, we do.
So if you have any problems, if you need some advice, you can tweet them at us at FUBAR Radio, or you can email hannah@fubarradio.com if you want to be anonymous, you know, if you want to, like, have you
ask us really dirty questions.
Oh, yeah.
Really dirty. Dirty fucking bitch.
Dean Morris has just tweeted us being like, fucking lemon slushy. Brilliant. I'm glad you enjoyed that, Dean. Amazing. Amazing. Oh, God. Yeah. So, yeah, make sure you tweet us your drunk advice questions. And we will be answering them right after this.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back.
Oh, amazing.
It is time for... No, she's done... She's taken all the wine. I asked her to save me some. And
take us some out of my glass.
So how dare
get
you.
Get it from my glass, Whitten.
Welcome, everyone, to Drunk Advice Live. And guess what? We are live on Facebook Live, on FUBAR Radio's Facebook page. You can watch the video.
Yeah.
There's your camera, Mel, that
where
one.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey. And you can watch us as well as listening to us if you fancy. And it is time for Drunk Advice.
Wait, hold on. No.
Hannah, you're wait.
Making a mess.
I fucked it. There you go. Whatever. That seems idiot. About even.
Thanks, love.
You're welcome. All right, everyone. Welcome to Drunk Advice. You've been on Drunk Advice before.
Oh, I have indeed. Well, it was a glorious day.
It was a great time. And there are three rules to Drunk Advice.
There are three.
Rule number one, be drunk. If you don't drink, be in the spirit of drunk. I'm like, we've had half a bottle of wine each, basically. And like, we're both lightweights, like we said. So I'm like,
I think I'm between drunk and between the spirit of drunk. I'm very much in a happy place.
Happy place. That's always a good thing. And rule number two is have a friend with you.
Mel. Hannah. Whitten.
Melanie Murphy.
Melanie Whitten. Hannah Whitten.
So good to have you back.
Dirty bitch.
You dirty bitch. And rule number three is don't take our advice. Don't do it.
Just ignore everything we're about to say. But listen anyway. Don't go anywhere.
Exactly. Okay. Mel, don't say these people's names. Just preface with that. Just like, oh,
covering my mouth.
Oh, God. But do you see anyone? Do you see any that you like?
On this? Ooh, these are questions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. These are the questions.
Oh, I like the name Emily. That's a cute name. I'm not going to say the names.
Now, I'm just going to ask a different question. Anyway, okay, so here's one. There's a girl I'm into and she's legit into me, but I can't talk to her. Help, please.
Ooh, okay.
How do you know that she's legit into you?
Yeah, so, right, if you've been told that she definitely likes you by a mutual friend, tell her how you feel. But if you're just guessing, what I would do is... when you're in a situation where you're comfortable and you're alone with her, make lots of eye contact and do lots of the usual flirty flirtations and just see if she reciprocates. Because, no, maybe she wouldn't because she might be shy. She might be nervous, but...
It sounds like you're both shy.
Yeah.
And in those kind of situations, it's like, I personally find it really hard to relate as a confident person. I'm just like, just tell them how you feel. Just like, what's the matter? Just go up and talk to them.
I'm confident though, and I find it really difficult with girls for some reason. Because I'm always like, I'm feeling a vibe here, but I don't actually know. And you know how annoyed I am at myself? Found out recently that this girl that I had a huge crush on, I'm not going to say who she is, but she's like an Irish TV presenter. Leave it at that. I found out she's a lesbian, and I didn't know that. And when I met her, I was like,
there's no way she'd ever be gay or into girls. Like, she's just so perfect. And, like, I got, because I have this whole thing of, like, just the whole bullshit that people put onto bisexual and gay people a lot of the time. You just think, but then she was lesbian and I never flirted because I thought that she would think I was being weird. And now I'm really annoyed at myself.
We're going to have to meet her again.
If you know this girl is weird, lady, tell her.
Or lesbian Irish TV presenter. That, I mean, like, couldn't be many. Like, then maybe there's loads of them.
There's not many at all.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, no, I still, I found too many. No, too many.
I think what you have to think is you have to almost, like, scare yourself into talking to this girl because you've got to think, like, that situation with Mel, like, oh my god, I wish
could
I had
you up.
Like, I wish I had, like, what it, like, you don't want to be in a situation in the future where you're like, god damn it, why didn't I, like, mm-hmm. what if mm-hmm. and you just go for it. And also, like, what's, like, you don't have that fear that a lot of people have, which is that fear of rejection. You know, this person likes you.
Yeah,
they like you.
They want to hug you. They want to kiss you. They want to fuck you.
Well, I don't know how old these people are, but yeah. But you know what I mean? It's like, just go for it.
Go on.
But also, you don't have to necessarily, like, go up to them and be like, I like you. You can just start talking to them. Also, hold on. Actually, I've just realized a whole other spanner in the works, and what? We need to move on to another question. But how do you both know that you like each other when you haven't talked?
Yeah, I know.
Like, maybe you should talk to each other and then, like, realize actually you don't like each other.
She doesn't even.
Clearly,
like.
At the moment, you just like the idea of each other. There's this poem which is called "The Two Cures for Love."
Oh my god!
I can't remember. The poet's name, but it's called "The Two Cures for Love," and I'm totally gonna like butcher it up here, but don't, it's like, it. Number one, don't call him, don't see him, don't write a letter. Number two, the easier way, get to know him better. And so it's that idea of, like, you infatuate and, like, you fantasize about the idea of people, and then actually the best way to get over someone is just to get to know them.
Yes!
And you're like, you're actually not that great.
Yeah, you put people on these pedestals and it's ridiculous. Like, I've done that so many times myself.
My recommendation is just go talk to them and, like, maybe find out that you don't actually like them. Awesome. Anyway, maybe you do still like each other. That would be great. Right, here we go. Okay, would you... so I think this is kind of, like, more in response to the conversation that we were having earlier about, like, sexual history and experience and stuff. And this person has said, would you date someone who doesn't have much sexual experience? If yes, how would you feel about that?
I absolutely would, because I can mold them and teach them. Yeah. They're like a little toy, and you can just... that would be amazing.
I genuinely feel like it doesn't matter at all. Like, it's not even a case of, they have more experience, so they're going to be better in bed. Because it doesn't actually matter, because even if they have had experience with other people before, they're really good at pleasing that person.
Personally,
they're
yes.
not really good at pleasing you. And so you have to think of it as starting with a blank page.
Yeah.
And it may be a case of, like, one thing that maybe having a lot more sexual partners can give you is confidence. Mm-hmm. And so it might, maybe in that area, you have to kind of, like, help build them up a bit. But, like, you never know. Yeah. But in terms of, like, technique...
Yeah, it's doesn't
always
work.
It's always starting from scratch kind of thing, and, like, figuring each other out and, like, really taking the time. The other thing is that there is definitely a trend. I don't know what it's like with women, but with men who have, like, had a lot of sexual partners, often they find it hard to take criticism.
Oh,
because they're like,
I
slept with X amount of women. I know what I'm doing.
My
ex came
five times every time we had sex, and I'm like, yeah, well, I still haven't come once. So just, like, listen to me. I've only had sex with one person who was they had sex with a lot of people, like loads and loads and loads of people. And while the confidence and, you know, all that stuff was there, I still would give a bit of input because I liked things a little bit different, or, you know, people will get used to things in you know, because a lot of the, like, say this guy, for example, a lot of the girls that he would sleep with would just kind of be just happy to sleep with him, and they would just do whatever he wanted to do or whatever. And that when I spoke up and said, well, can we do it this way? It was like I slapped him in the face. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was so silly.
So
what we're saying is basically if there is no experiences, little
Fine
experience,
by
like
me.
Not a big deal. It's more about the person and that individual relationship that you have with them.
Exactly.
And level of experience, how no matter how big or small it is irrelevant.
Exactly.
IMO. Here we go. Mel, this is one for you.
Oh.
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 I've been considering coming out as bisexual for a while now, but I have a boyfriend of nearly 2 years and don't want him to be offended or believe I've lost interest. How should I tell him and my friends without doing this? Context, I'm 18 and female. Were you out as bi when you were in relationships with men?
So with my first boyfriend and my second boyfriend, both long term, they both knew I was bi and like, well, I never used the word bi because I didn't really know what that meant until like halfway through my first relationship. We had a break and then I kissed a girl at a party and then like she told me she was bi and I was like, what?
What is that? What is that?
But I just always knew I liked girls as well. And they both knew. So, for example, my second long-term boyfriend, when I met him, he was hooking up with the girl or trying to hook up with the girl that I had just been hooking up with. And that was one of our first conversations together. And I really warmed to the fact that he was unjudgmental about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it just became this kind of thing between us. When I, like, told, like, I talked to him more about being bi, and we'd have these little games where if we were on a bus or walking down a street, we would be like, would we both, like, be into the same person here? Or if we're watching a movie, we'd be like, which one do you find attractive out of the girls? But what you need to realise, I'm going to answer your question, what you need to realise here is that your sexuality has nothing to do with the person you're with at any one time. So someone can be straight and they might be single for their entire life. You can be bisexual and you can be married to a man or a woman for 50 years. Your sexuality is what you're attracted to and what you are stimulated by and what you think about and stuff like that. So
yeah, because your sexual behaviour is not the same as your sexuality.
Sexuality, yeah. So I think realising and accepting that, first of all, and communicating that if you do want to talk to him about it. Like, if you're saying I've been considering coming out as a bisexual, if you really want to get this off your chest to the person that you love and talk to them about it, you should feel comfortable doing that, I believe.
I know a couple friends, like, off, like, I think they've both spoken about this online, so I feel comfortable saying. So okay. Elena Fender and Ash Hardell,
yes,
both kind of came to terms with their own bisexuality, pansexuality, whilst in relationships with men.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've also made a video about this, so I'd highly recommend watching that. But in both of their instances, it was a very positive outcome.
Yeah.
It was just like talking to, being open and talking to their partner and saying, I think I'm bi, but also like being reassuring in the sense that like, this is me, this is about my personal sexuality, and it has no
bearing
impact
on what
on
I have
our
with you.
Relationship.
Yes.
I think that's one thing that you just have to separate. Like, this is my personal sexuality, and everyone, even if you're in a relationship, is entitled to their own private
sexuality.
Their own sex life, their own private sex life, and their own private like sexuality separate from their partner.
Absolutely.
And so I think that you have to kind of like strike that balance of like, this is my personal sexuality, which is I'm bisexual, but me with you, me in this relationship that we're in, that is this, and that's not changed.
Like, literally the last person that I kind of was dating,
but also
for
if they're just like no, then dump them. They're like, what's that?
Yeah, no, don't like let anyone ever make you feel, because it's something you can't change about yourself, and you shouldn't have to change yourself to fit for someone else.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna answer some more drunk advice questions right after this.
The Hannah Whitten Show on FUBAR Radio.
All right, it's time to do some more drunk advice questions. Don't forget that we are on Facebook Live. You can go to FUBAR Radio's Facebook page and you can watch us in video form as well as radio form. All right, babe, do you want to ask this next question?
No.
Rude. Rude.
So, how do you stop giving people the wrong impression you're into them when you're just an overly friendly person? Thanks!
I feel like I can really relate to this. I was that girl in secondary school who everyone was just like, Hannah, stop flirting with these people if you don't want them to fancy you. And I was like, I'm not flirting! I mean, like, I don't really know how old you are. And I feel like when I was a teenager, this was a big issue for me because I just had no idea. And it's just kind of like been as I've gotten older that I'm better at recognizing when I'm flirting and I'm better at actively choosing to flirt.
To flirt, yes.
And things
so
like
how
that.
So how would you distinguish, though, between being overly friendly and being flirtatious? Because I think me and you are very similar. I think that's why we get on so well, but we're both very, like, flirty people even when we're not flirting, like, just with my friends. Like, I am very flirty with my friends.
I don't know. It's one of those things that genuinely I think I just learnt. It's not something that, like, you can be like, this is friendly, this is flirty, and draw a line. It's something that you feel.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's, like, something that, like, if I'm being friendly with somebody who I'm not into, and then suddenly they say something, or suddenly, like, there's a certain, like, vibe that I feel
uncomfortable
that is flirty. I suddenly feel uncomfortable. And, like, as soon as I get that feeling where I'm like, oh, we're on different pages here, then I always, like,
backtrack.
I take it back a notch.
What do you do? Because the thing is, I actually relate to this viewer, because there's a few people who, like, I feel, like, a very nice connection with and stuff, and we get on great, and I know that they have a different thing in their mind. And, like, it gets to the point where I ignore messages and stuff because I don't want them getting the wrong thing. But then I also don't want to lose the connection either.
I also feel like it's not just on you. It's not just on you to give off the right impression. There's two people there. So it's, like, one person giving a certain impression, another person reading that impression.
Yeah.
So maybe they're already into you. And they're reading what they want to read.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just being friendly, then they might be like, oh my God, they're paying attention
to me.
Yeah. Kind of thing. And I often feel like that's something that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't necessarily entirely your fault or entirely your responsibility to change your behavior. I think it's just good, just like as you grow as a person, to like recognize.
Learn the,
those things. And like maybe when, just take it on a case by case basis when you're in those situations, and maybe try and like just be more aware, being like, how am I behaving right now? How are they into me? How are they reading this? Are they trying to flirt back? Am I flirting with them or am I giving clear signals? Am I giving mixed signals? What signals are they giving? And like, maybe like just be a bit more aware of reading those situations.
Yeah.
But I think it's just something that we grow as people to kind of like understand people much better.
There's some situations where it's so difficult, though, as like say for me with straight girls or with gay guys, I find that like say if I don't know the guy is gay or I don't know the girl is straight, it can be so hard then because I know I am flirting because I like them, but then they're not, you know what I mean? So I have been on the receiving end as well of that, and it's like, no.
Oh, I see.
But I think it's just important to like if you feel like they are expecting more than what you're willing to give, then just rein it in a bit and just create a little bit of distance so you're kind of giving that message without having to explicitly say anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't fancy you.
Yeah,
it's like heartbreaking.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, no. Okay, last question real quick. Any advice for dealing with a long plane journey? I'm going on a 13-hour flight to Thailand in 2 weeks. I've never done 13 hours. The most I've done is 11.
Is that LA?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be the same as me then. And I know this sounds really weird, but, and I get a lot of flights. I am more comfortable on long haul flights than I am on short ones for some reason. I feel like with the long haul ones, I forget that I'm in a plane. It literally feels like you're not even in a bus. It's just so solid and...
But, like, I think it's just about making the time up. So try and sleep. I would highly recommend bringing...
neck pillow.
No, not even just that. The eye mask.
Oh, my God, yes.
Like, oh, my God, it's so useful to have her, just helping you shut off from the rest of it. Just to be in complete darkness. Bring games, laptop... books, music. Take advantage of the films on that they have on the entertainment thing.
And
I can usually watch like a maximum of three on a plane journey. Like any more than that, I'm like dying.
I watched Hocus Pocus on my last one, Halloween movie. It was so cool. I loved it. I was terrified as well. I had so much flight anxiety before my first trip to America.
Yeah.
And I just tried to fill up the time, and I also made sure that I stretched a lot and took like sections where I stand up and walk
around. Stand up and walk around. Also, one thing that I do on plane journeys is it's often the time when I write in my diary.
Aww.
Like every
You do keep a diary.
Most diary entries that I have, it's just like, I'm on a plane right now, like heading to this place. And it's just like me being alone on a plane for me is like a time to like reflect and be like, this is what's going on in my life. This is what I'm excited for. This is what's happened.
Yeah. I meditate a lot and I like visualize. Yeah. I'm a big visualizer.
Plane journeys is a great time to plan your whole life and reevaluate everything.
Five babies.
Hope that helps. Melanie, thank you so much.
Thank you, chicken.
For coming on tonight. It's been like about time.
I know.
About time. Thank you, everyone.
Your 30th as well.
My 30th show. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to listen again or you want to listen to any of the other 30 episodes, shows that I've done, you can go to fubarradio.com or you can download it as a podcast on iTunes. Yeah. And I will see you, hear you, talk to you,
smell you,
smell you next week. Bye. Bye.
Kiss me on the mouth and set me free.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.